Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind, and it's my hope that when you do that, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. Now, you may not agree, or you may agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep that open mind. In so doing, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. We want to keep that ego in check and come from a place of spirit if we're going to have peace within ourselves, with each other, and on earth. So I give a blessing to all who are listening today. I give a blessing to our guest, Sandra, and I give a blessing to the planet Earth that we may heal at all levels and that we may see peace in our lifetime. So today's guest is Sandra, who from a young age began writing poetry, drawing, designing, singing, dancing, and creating shows for herself and friends to perform. In addition to her artistic nature, she displayed intuitive abilities and an unusually deep sense of empathy and compassion toward others. As a little girl, she would often go out of her way to help and protect those in need, including rescuing and taking home all kinds of animals. She was able to sense things about people, their lives, and emotions. Though she had many friends, she always felt a sense of isolation. The thoughts, the questions she had concerning her Roman Catholic upbringing and her pondering over life's purpose and meaning were far removed from the usual interests of children her age. So she often had a difficult time relating to the ways of other children. At around the age of 8, she experienced her first spiritual event. This initially left her very frightened and confused. For many years thereafter, she was somewhat apprehensive about discussing or exploring it. However, even then she was a seeker of truth. There was a deeper sense of knowing within her that she needed to continue to explore and find the real meaning of life and her own true purpose. Her experience of the creative process and artistic expression is totally intuitive, contributing greatly to her self-discovery, spiritual development, and awakening, a means by which she is able to connect with Source and feel something much greater, wiser, more powerful working through her in this manner. These experiences have instilled a great sense of faith in her. She knows that someday she'll find answers to the questions she's had about life and what she's truly here to do. And so we will ask her how she is proceeding on that journey of discovery. And Sandra is here in the studio now. And Sandra, I never asked you how to pronounce your last name. How do you say it?
Well, actually, I only use Sandra Rose, which is my first and middle name, since... Well, a while ago I started using it because it is so hard to pronounce, number one. And
Well, let's pronounce it because that's the name on the book.
Oh, Ferendino.
And it's Credendino Nile, is it?
No, I don't use that name anymore. The book was published in, I believe, 2003. So I, you know, recently since then, I just use Sandra Rose, you know, for any kind of work that I do. But yeah, we can give them all the information that's there for the book, but it can be found under that name, the title of the book, and then just Sandra Credendino.
Okay. Well, the book's title is Journey Through the Heart of a Modern Mystic. And I'd like to start by reading the selection from it. I've taken the liberty of making my own choices. And the first selection I'm going to read, and I'll read another one later, is Tween Heaven and Earth. Below the sacred company in solitude I lay. Oh, hear the sweetest melody of trembling silence play. Floating from the fading blackness, lifted by a cloud of white, simplicity above the madness, reality within my sight. Into the lightness I rise, blind to all of earthly dark, the dance to a familiar song that cries to the beating wounded heart. Knowing every truth without a mindful thought or word, I fly amidst a noiseless crowd of angels, swirling like a wingless bird between heaven and earth. All is clear in a whisper of love, so tender, dear, yet strong, and nothing more to want nor long. Oh, glorious night! I shall return the morrow to see the day in different light and drown all earthly sorrow. Oh, to be tween heaven and earth doth take a master of this life. Feet must gently touch the dirt while spirit soars in constant flight. Enchanted dreams, a child's bliss, pure innocence, my beloved's kiss. Where angels live and mystics birth, 'tis such a place, tween heaven and earth. And that's not a question, folks. That is a statement. And so let's ask Sandra how she writes this beautiful poetry.
Oh, thank
Sandra.
You, David.
Thank You're welcome.
You.
I never asked how you were doing today.
Oh, I'm doing well, dealing with a lot of technical difficulties here. My new site will be up, I believe, by today. It's been updated and how should I say, restructured along as we go through transformations. We must transform our work, and so that's where it's at. But thank you very much for appreciating this poem. My goodness, I didn't realize, I haven't heard it in a while, so I haven't realized how long it is. But this started out to be one of my very favorite too, and I actually have a painting which depicts this. A lot of the, not what's in the book, as you can see, David, which is more of an illustration, but a painting that I had done thereafter and named it Tween Heaven and Earth, which is above my bed.
Oh, wonderful.
Suitably.
Yeah,
and
how perfect.
Yeah, so about this poem, like all the others in the book, which explains, and again, it does have to be, edited and a second edition so I can update a bit with all the technical and logistics. But, you know, in looking at the book in retrospect, and which I haven't looked at in a while, and just recently because interest has been shown, which is kind of ironic because I knew that when I wrote the book, there was some kind of purpose for it. At the time, I was getting a lot of downloads, which I'm in that stage right now too. So if my brain seems a little fried, it's because I've basically been getting a tremendous amount of downloading for the past, three and a half weeks or month. What?
Oh, I just said I know what that's like. I'm an author, too.
Oh, I thought you said, yeah, I would think that you do. And from speaking with you, I would think that you absolutely experience this. And many people do, and I think they might not even be aware of it. We absolutely all have the capacity. Having been one who is focused on the other world as opposed to focusing on this one, which I realized later on in life, my connection was pretty clear, and it was a double-edged sword, and it still is in a sense. I'm learning more how to balance, to be in my body, with my body, learn how to bring the consciousness into the body, into the physical life, and to integrate that. That was a big issue for me for many years, especially as a child, feeling the out-of-body experiences, not understanding, think it was some kind of physical illness or condition.
And how does it manifest?
How does it manifest? The out-of-body experience?
Yes.
Well, you know, and I'm using that term, out-of-body experience, only because I don't know how else to describe it. But I will say that I am always conscious. Even when I am downloading, I don't channel. Channel for me means that you are unconscious and some force is
yes.
controlling you. I am not under
yes.
any control whatsoever. You understand this, David. I think we spoke about this when we first met, when you first asked me to be on the show, and I was very clear about that because, and that's one of the words that I would probably change in my book because at the time I was not as familiar and didn't have as much information as I have now and as much experience, obviously, because we keep learning every day as we experience this journey. And so, as I was saying, the downloading experience is somewhat of an out-of-body experience in the sense that you're communicating and functioning on another dimension, another level, and in a different frequency. So even though you are physically there and you can touch your physical body, it's not like you're out of the body and you're viewing like remote viewing, you do sense that presence in another realm, in a
mm-hmm.
higher frequency. And in
yes.
doing so, coming back in, so to speak, like after I write a poem or I'm writing for hours and hours and hours, which I've been doing, like I said, for the past couple of weeks, it is almost, I'm getting better at it, a process to bring that part of oneself, that part of the self, that consciousness, to bring that consciousness back into the physical. And many often, probably after I finish this radio program, as if when I finish these poems, I will literally stand up and become a little bit dizzy and disorientated or have to eat a meal and take a nap because it is a process. Coming back into this dimension is very, very dense here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. When you're out of body, do you sense, like I have, that you're in communion with your supreme consciousness, the source of your being? Or is it conversational? For me, it is a form of telepathy where I don't hear words, but I receive messages.
Exactly how I
work. Has that happened?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly how I work. I resonate with that. Many people do actually hear audio, and I have, in writing my songs, I have literally sometimes have been in a half-state sleep, waking up in the middle of the night, and have actually heard melodies. And would have to get up and hum them. I can hear the instruments. Like, I cannot read a note of music. I don't know a C note from a D note. I left school at the age of 16, did not fit in with the educational system. I did not like school, have no regrets, had no desire to go. I knew whatever I was going to do wouldn't require it. So I don't know these things. I don't know some of these words that I put in the poem. I had to look them up. And the way this, the speech is, some of it is very...
So that's...
Yeah.
That's an example of a download.
So good example. Because what happens, like you said, David, is you're not always hearing it audibly. Although, like I said, once in a while, that's what would happen with the music. I would hear sounds or like a whoosh in the air, and I would hear melodies. And then when I would go into the studio to produce a song with the producer, I couldn't tell him what notes it was. I would hum it, I would bring it, and then I would say, okay, violins need to come in here. And which is very funny. I recently, not to get off topic here, but this is a very beautiful movie, and I recently saw a movie. I don't watch TV. I avoid going to movies unless I'm forced. But I like to stay home and watch particular type films that I feel would resonate. And so I watched this movie called, I believe it was Begin Again, and it was a music, about a music songwriter, singer. And in this man, who is played by Mark Ruffalo, who I love, he played this producer who was representing this girl, and they showed a scene of him, how he was in a rep, and, you know, he would go out and find talent, and he was having real down-and-out times, but he had a very unique gift of being able to hear a person sing and literally have the instruments. He would hear the instruments, even if they were just playing with a guitar or a cappella. In watching that movie, it was a beautiful example, and all I could think of to say, oh, my God, this is what happens with me when I write a song, and this is what happens to us, is that they showed in the film him seeing violinists and things, and all coming in, this girl simply singing with a guitar, and hearing it, and then envisioning it. And so that is the beauty of, you know, the connection, the beauty of spirit, and the beauty of imagination, which is part of the spirit. It's an action of this. The spirit is action, and that is one of its activities. In my personal experience, is imagination is spirit. Because it allows us to imagine everything that is unseen with the five senses, but everything that is possible.
Yes. Yes, I can totally relate to that. I just wanted to comment when you were talking about when you are downloading. For me, I do channel. I channel for people. And I channel all of my books, almost all of them. And so I am unconscious when I'm writing them. I don't remember what I've written afterwards, although sometimes I have a sense of it with my fiction books. But otherwise, if I'm writing spiritual material, it is all channeled. That's a difference for me. I wonder, we do have a few callers, and I want to invite anyone who's listening to call in. And there's one person in particular who's a friend of mine who I'm hoping will call in. And she's somebody I would like to introduce you to if you're doing another edition of your book, because she is a literary agent. She's mine. And I've already told her about your book, and she's very interested in it.
So is that Caroline?
Yes.
You did give me her.
You know Caroline?
We did connect. Lovely Caroline, yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Amen.
I haven't.
Enough said. Well, I haven't either, but I talk to her every day. And we formed a very close friendship. I'm very grateful for it. And I call her my sister. And I've known her from, I believe, four lifetimes. I've been able to make the connection. I'm able to go back and make the connection. All I had to do was say, sister, I pinpointed the life. Wife, I was a priest, she was a priestess in Egypt, ancient Egypt. And then there was biblical times. I was having a little trouble pinpointing that, but we don't need to go there. It might flip people out. Later. Let me ask you, since we do have callers, what are you prepared to do when somebody asks you a question?
Oh, I'm not prepared, actually.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. Well, a great example really quickly. I never prepare for anything. In fact, I realized at 3:20 that I had to call in for the radio show at 3:26.
I think prepare is the wrong word. What I meant by that is, what kind of gift can you share with these people? What kinds of things might they expect from talking to you?
I think probably most importantly, a sharing, a sense of sharing of wisdom and from the downloading I receive, and an ability for me to empathize and be able to almost be with that person's consciousness.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I work more in that way than I do in predicting. I don't much like to do the predicting, even though I may foresee specific things, because everything is a possibility. And we such power, and we need to reclaim that power, and we need to understand that. As a young girl, I love the whole psychic thing, and I really do avoid that at this point, because I know that for people who are just, getting into it and starting to awaken, that sometimes psychic, that's a whole other topic, and you and I can talk about that another time. But yeah, so that's basically what I would be here to offer. I mean, I don't think if someone, asked me a question and said, called in and said, well, I have this job and I might get this new job, but I don't know if I should take it. Do you think I should take it? Well, I think what I do is more of sharing and giving wisdom and the messenger.
Yes. I agree with that. That's how I work too. And I think it's more important for people to discover the truth within themselves than to be told something. Because as you say, there are many possibilities. And I think that if people can get in touch with their own free will, then they will discover the answers within themselves. And to predict is just predicting possibilities, and some people get locked into those things. Yeah.
And to discern, and to learn how to discern more accurately.
Yes, yes, that's a real gift, isn't it?
Because we do need to learn how to discern. I mean, it's a job every day. We do need to learn how to discern very carefully, because there are, other influences. There's so much influence in this world, in this density. And we need to learn how to recognize that and learn how to discern what is our own free will. What is our soul consciousness as opposed to our ego? What is our soul conscious telling us to do as opposed to the fear, or the wishful thinking even? And
right.
To give people, without predicting, but give people what you feel and what you're receiving for them as information, so that they in turn can learn to develop their own innate skills for their own.
Thing, because you talked about that earlier, and pardon the interruption, but I just wanted to focus on that for a minute before we take a call. We all have spiritual gifts available to us, every single person. And
absolutely.
What would you say to somebody who wonders how they can develop those gifts?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I almost forgot. Thank you, David. That was divine timing and order, because that's exactly one of the, I should say, readjustments I've made in my work, just being an intuitive artist and helping people out with emotional issues and talking to them and whatnot, is that, how should I say this? Repeat that question again.
Okay, very simply, how can you suggest to others that they develop their gifts, their spiritual gifts?
So that's it, the suggestion. How do I suggest? I wanted to get that word, because there are many ways. So I don't want to come off like, oh, well, this is the way you do it. But under this blanket, there are many ways to do it, but I personally want to really emphasize on working with people and helping them to develop a personalized spiritual practice that is in congruence with their intention, with their lifestyle, mm-hmm. something that feels resonant with them, to help them to, as a writer and as a person who downloads, to help them create their own meditation, to write personalized meditations for them that they can work with, adjust with. Then thereon, learn to develop their own skills, how to, on moving forward in that development with their spiritual practice, so they can hone their own skills, so they can refine their own techniques and their ways of how they themselves get in touch with spirit. And this is such an important thing because for me personally, and I can't emphasize this more, without daily spiritual practice, even if it is 5 minutes a day of solitude, in retrospect, in just complete aloneness and quiet, it could only be 5 minutes, even in between the day. It's so very important because we do need to remove ourselves from the distractions and the energies and the frequencies that are all around us 24/7, the fear programming, the fear mongering. There's so much going on. I mean, these are all topics that are all separate, and I'll be writing a lot about all of them in my on my new website. If people are interested in learning and more about it, and discovering more. But basically, that's it in a nutshell. To help people.
Okay.
Yeah, create and develop their own personal spiritual practice.
What about journaling? Is that a useful tool?
Absolutely. Another. Okay. We're so much on the same page. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Journaling is phenomenal. It is such a great way because we do forget. And sometimes people who even feel that they're not quite evolved yet, like I'm quoting someone who I know who said, I don't feel quite evolved yet sometimes as a joke. And some people really don't. They feel like they're not quite evolved yet. And yet they will have these periods of downloading or even in a dream or in a half sleep state or in a quiet moment. And sometimes if you write it down, you go back and you say, wow, did I know that? Did I realize that? Because we go about our daily lives and we don't understand how connected and how spiritual sometimes we really are.
Well, once again, I'd like to invite anybody that's listening to call in because we're going to take callers now. We lost one. Perhaps they wanted a prediction for their future. I don't know. But we've had a woman named Mia patiently waiting. She's from Southwest Florida, and I'm going to bring her live. Hello, Mia. Say hello to Sandra.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Mia.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Are you enjoying the show, Mia?
Yes, I am. It's interesting.
Well, what would you like to ask Sandra?
Well, I just like to ask about getting unstuck. Like, I'm feeling maybe stuck, more so spiritually, like moving towards the next level.
Ah, ascension. And in other words, you need suggestions on how to work with that, how to move a little quickly or quicker beyond.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not shifting or just not doing the right type of meditation.
There's no right type.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think, first of all, we have to understand that there are times, and we've all experienced this, I know I have, where there's a saying, as God would have it be. And so maybe at specific times, there are things that we need to slowly work through that we might not be quite aware of yet on a conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And so then moving to that next level, it just might be too overwhelming for us and then set us back or instill some kind of emotion or fear or whatever. So what I feel is that, okay, your patience with yourself and your loving compassion for yourself in allowing yourself to be wherever you are and then gradually introduce into your daily life maybe something just a little bit different than what you would normally do. There is no wrong or right way to meditate. When you think back, we've all been meditating since we're very little children. I know I have. But we didn't realize what we were doing. And I know that many people feel that meditating means you have to blank out your mind and you're supposed to not have anything in your mind. And that might be true with certain types of meditation for certain types of people. But in looking at it from my personal point of view and my personal experience, which I think is true for many, is that meditation need not be a specific type of experience. Meditation could and insightfulness and connection with spirit. And how should I say, having an aha moment need not be in deep meditation where you're trying to blank out your mind. Now, we're not talking about the chatter. That, of course, we have to calm, the ego mind, the chatter. But if you're in silence and you're in peaceful silence with yourself and focusing on yourself, that is meditation. And in those periods of time, whether you think they're right or they're wrong, they're exactly what you need to get. In other words, how can I explain this more simply? Although it is quite simple when you think about it, because what I'm saying is, whatever you're doing, your intention is pure. Your intention is you want to expand. You want to move to the next level. And basically, that's the most important thing, is your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will come about as far as specific things you can do in techniques. Oh, my God, there are so many, I wouldn't know where to begin. And it does take, for me to give that type of advice, it's very important for me to be in a setting with that person where I can be in a closer communication with them on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I do sense that you have this intention and this pure intention and that eventually, you know, when you least expect it, it may happen. And you may find a new way. And this is the importance, exactly what we were talking about before, the importance of just assisting someone and helping them build a spiritual practice. A lot of it is just that person really realizing and accepting that what I do when I help them is really just encouraging them and supporting them in their own empowerment to know that they can do it for themselves.
You know, what I'm hearing, Mia, is you have this tremendous desire and intention to evolve. However, I'm also hearing that you are remaining in a place where you're focused on that not happening. So you need to, as I hear it, see it, is to let go. And in so doing, you're more likely to find the answers that you're seeking and the illumination that you're seeking. And letting go is very simple, but it's very elusive. It took me a long time to understand what surrendering to spirit was about. Sandra, would you have any suggestions for that?
Yes. To be loving and compassionate with yourself. To experience, learn how to experience patience and kindness for yourself. And that, in other words, almost like David says, just letting go and also letting yourself off the hook. Because when your intention is pure, you really can feel that you're in a really good place, in a really positive place to move forward. So the kindness and the compassion for your own heart, for your own appreciation and honoring the fact that that you follow this desire. I mean, how beautiful is that? To see the beauty in yourself.
I think appreciation is a key. And Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, would say there's nothing more important than maintaining consistent moments of joy. When I'm following my joy, it's like I'm just led to wherever I want to be that feels, quote-unquote, good to me. And when I'm doing that, I find peace within myself. There's no anxiety. And I follow my passions. And when I'm doing that, I tend to receive a lot of information from my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about it, Sandra?
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah.
Mia, is there anything else you'd like to ask?
So, is my intention, that makes sense.
That's what you need to let go of. Set the intention and believe that you're a manifester or a creator. And let it go. And just focus on the gratitude of the moment where you're at and everything that you possess spiritually and otherwise in your life. If you can stay present to the moment and conscious, then whatever intention you set forth will manifest.
Mm-hmm. And also, can I add one thing, Mia, is that when you set an intention, sometimes people often think intention is like a goal, and you have a goal to accomplish the specific thing. When you set an intention, it's more from the heart. A pure intention is more coming from the heart. And with that intention, it sounds like an oxymoron because you have this deep desire and intention. However, there is also surrender attached to that in the sense that spiritual intention, an intention pure from heart, is not attached to the outcome or even the process. So the attention is set. And for me, the intention is always that it be for the highest good of my highest God self and for all those who are involved. So once that intention is set, I want whatever to be and whatever pace my spiritual development needs to be for my highest God self and for the highest good of all involved. Because also remember that as we evolve and as we fulfill our intention, which sometimes takes very long. And so during that time that we are doing that inner work to fulfill that intention, there are so many various outcomes and experiences that occur within that time. And through each one of those experiences, we learn and we go further, even if we don't realize it. We may have an experience that is so unpleasant or even tragic, as I have experienced, a tremendous loss. But even through those experiences, when the intention remains pure, when the intention remains heart-based and soul conscious, of the soul consciousness, we will move along. And not to believe that, but to know that, to have that certainty. And then that allows one to be loving and patient and compassionate and kind with his or herself while they are on this path of ascension.
Mm-hmm. You said some very important things. I love, Mia, you might want to think in terms of that heart connection as being to think with your heart. You know, move from your brain into your heart. And I loved what you said about letting go of the outcome or not being attached to any particular outcome and asking that it serve your highest good. I think those are such key ingredients.
And also to understand the difference between mental understanding and heart-mind, because mental understanding throws us off. We cannot mentally understand an experience that is not mentally sourced. So if it's soul source experience, if it's a soul essence experience, if it's a soul conscious experience, sometimes we can't mentally understand it, or we can't mentally control things. Those type of experiences that are from the heart-mind and those kind of thoughts, heart-mind thoughts and soul-conscious behaviors and soul-conscious experiences, they're from a different part of. We have many selves, and that's the part of the self that we learn to get in touch with when we set our intention. But there is no specific pace. There is no specific technique. There is no guru out there. There is no one but loving people and light workers, people who have pure intention, who absolutely do this work to empower other people. And that mm-hmm. is what pure intention is.
Does that make sense to you, Mia?
Or shall I say, so people can empower themselves, because you have the power. You are empowered. We just don't know it sometimes. Mm-hmm. We forget. We forget our oneness.
Yeah.
Our God self.
Mia, I have Sandra, I wish that we had one of your songs to play. I don't know if this is putting you on the spot, and if it is, feel free to decline. Is there something that you could sing over the phone?
You know, I would love to, except for I have had a voice block for the past year.
Okay.
I can try. Maybe spirit will come through me. But even more so, I would love to read you the lyrics of the song, and maybe I'll be inspired and some melodies will come into my throat chakra, which has been I've been so focused on other areas of my work, my spiritual work. But there is a song. I wish I would have spoken to you earlier, because we could have downloaded it from iTunes. We could have put it on the radio. It's very simple. But it is,
you have an MP3 of it in your computer?
I do, and I have a CD of it here, of course, which I have to mail you one, and I will mail Caroline one.
Well, let's do this. Let's do this the next time, because I would love to have you back on the show again, perhaps 6 months down the line. You can send that to me, and I will upload it, and then we'll have that available. So please do whatever your move to do right now.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you've read it, but, you know, in the book, a few of these poems that are in my book, I transposed to songs. And there are two. There are three that are my favorite. The others are pretty commercialized. The producer wanted, they were trying to promote me, and I was, you know, that went downhill because I was mostly focused on the spiritual. So I didn't want to get caught up in that ego stuff. But there are two songs.
Which one do you think would speak to what we've been talking about?
I think, let's see. Life Goes On is about
I love it.
Homeless. It's about homeless people, actually. I wrote a song about the homeless and how they are equal with us, and we really leave them behind. There is another song that is Didn't You Know, but that's very personal. It was about my losing my dad just before I finished the CD, which was actually on the radio. And that was divinely inspired. But I think basically that probably the one would be Life Goes On, only because it relates to our oneness and how we need to have that compassion. And where is the compassion? And so that song, it would be nice if I could read you the lyrics, because sometimes when you listen to a song, which we can play it maybe next time, or you can put it on your radio next time, even if I'm not on. And then this way they can
That would be great.
And then when they listen to the song, they can connect, okay?
Okay, and let's substitute that for what I was going to read. And I just wanted to plant a seed about homeless. In a sense, I mean, there are people that are literally without a home. But in a sense, many of us have always felt homeless and detached and isolated from the heaven within ourselves. And
correct.
So from that standpoint, it can apply to all of us.
And it's so funny you say that, because what do they say? As above, so below. And as within, as without. And when we feel, sometimes those are the people who are very start out being very connected and very sensitive and very, they end up being homeless on a physical level because of that isolation, that feeling of isolation and homelessness. Yes.
Right. Mia, my dear, thank you for calling. You can continue to listen to the show, but what I'm going to do is mute your mic so there's no background noise. And thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And please feel free to check out some of my future broadcasts, just to give you a sense of who's coming up. I have tomorrow night a famous psychic by the name of Leo Bonomo, who will give readings. I have Dr. Bernie Siegel on February 12th. He's a famous cancer surgeon who's written many best-selling books about the idea that you can heal yourself. And on March 19th at 3:30, I have Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, who can give readings, and she also reads Akashic Records and can read past lives that might be related to any fears that you have in this life. So those are three shows that I offer to you and to anybody else that's out there. And you can always check out upcoming shows by going to blogtalkradio.com/AuthorDavidClark with an E. So, Mia, thank you again. And Sandra, take it away.
Okay. And I actually just saw another one that really fits, called The Human Condition. But
whichever one resonates most.
Yeah. I think I'll do that. I think that fits. I'm just inspired to do that one. And next time you can play the song. It's called Human Condition. Life is all but a wonderful game to be played through the art of our joy and our pain. Delusion, the means by which we escape all the sorrows of living we claim and mistake. As the drama unfolds, we await to be seen, then given a role in this theater of dreams. A thousand scenarios, which one shall we choose? Playing only to win shall be just how we lose. Lust for wealth, position, power, adulation. Worshipping gods we create for salvation. Leaders preaching opinions for the weary and meek, in their name for compassion, yet it is fame they do seek. Some on their knees claiming all for God's good, while the suffering children lack shelter and food. Whores for magicians, princes and kings, idols, politicians, false heroes and queens. Beggars, lovers, servants, and slaves, wives, children, mothers, shedding tears on the graves. Wars, victories, defeat, and the shame. Ah, yes, life is all but a wonderful game. And while the arrogant chatter bending our ear, the most wise solve the matters. In humility, they hear. And as the drama unfolds, they await to be seen. For through the mist of our fear and our hate, angels sing.
Beautiful. Well, we do have another caller. That comes from Sandra's book, Journey Through the Heart of a Modern Mystic. And if people want to get that book, where's the best place for them to go?
You can get it, I think, through Amazon, any of the, straight through Trafford, but it's from Canada, so it takes long through the publisher. So you can get it on Amazon, and probably the best bet, quick, Barnes
okay.
& Noble.
Great. Excuse me. Just to let you know, if you have time, we can run 5 minutes over, so that's not a problem. Are you ready to take another call?
Sure.
Okay. I'm bringing up area code 337. You're live on the air with David and Sandra. What's your name, please?
Hi. My name is
Hi.
David from Louisiana. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. This is Kia, is it?
Candace, like candy.
Candace. Oh, yes. I'm doing great. Thank you for calling in. Candace has called in before.
Yes, I have.
Huh? Yes, I know you have.
Well,
thank you. Well, what do you have for Sandra?
I would love to see where does she pick up on my love life if she see maybe a long-term relationship coming my way.
I see what you're saying. You want to know about your love life.
Yeah.
I know about my... Let me
like
focus
a long
on
term.
That. Because though I don't make predictions, I would like to just tune in on that a little bit, okay? And could you just talk to me a little bit more?
Yeah. Well,
you don't have to say anything. You don't need to say anything about what's going on. Just I need to hear your voice. The tone of your voice?
Yeah. Well,
just tell her a little bit about yourself, Candace.
Well, I am, I've been 4 years ago. I got divorced.
Huh? I'm getting stuff. Okay. So now what I'm feeling is, okay, how may I say this? If it resonates, of course, and this is my personal feeling and experiencing picking up from people, is that
what really needs to be, I think, addressed is your love for yourself, and the recognition of your soul, your inner beauty, beneath the mask, and that when that happens, again, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Mm-hmm.
Or shall I say, as within, so with on the outside.
Exactly.
So my feeling is very strong in the sense that you might have a sense of this, of what it is, but for some reason you're unable to, like, grasp a hold of that sense. And maybe you had it once, or you're unable to grab a hold of that sense of feeling that self-love and that self-acceptance and that acknowledgement of the beauty within you and the soul, the soul consciousness.
My mama said, come here.
I definitely love me for me. I know I'm a beautiful, amazing person. I know I have a great heart and everything like that. I definitely accepted that. Always been that way. You know, I definitely know that I'm definitely worthy of everything that I deserve. I'm definitely worthy. Tell her I'm coming in a few.
I think that in taking your in taking back your power, somehow I feel this. Somehow I feel that at some level, at some point, you might have had more of that, and that you have a sense for it, but that needs to be worked on. So the love really that can come to you, and that can be the opportunities that will present themselves in order for you to experience love with another being. In order for that love to be pure, in order for that love to be for the highest good,
mm-hmm.
that love for yourself has to be cultivated. It has to be reawakened or developed and felt. And it doesn't mean that it has to take 10 years to do that. It could happen in an instant. It can happen in a week. It could happen in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that focus, if it's a suggestion instead of a prediction, although the outcome could be that you do find love, but the source and the cause of that effect has to come from within. And that once you come to that place where you're looking for that love, no longer looking for it outside yourself,
right. Yeah.
are feeling it, not only looking for it, but actually feeling it and experiencing it, then that will make it much, much easier for you. And it will attract
that type
of love. Otherwise, you might attract love that is from a totally, but it is what it is. But a frequency of love, a frequency.
Like for 4 years, I've been basically just healing me and enjoying my fabulosity and singleness, which I have been doing, and I've been doing quite well. And
that's great.
I'm sorry. For some reason, my connection. What did you say?
I said for like like when I got my divorce and everything. You know, mm-hmm. I basically just been killing me and just basically forgiving a lot of things that I mm-hmm. did and a lot of things that other people did in my. Well, you know, people that hurted me and stuff like that. I've forgiven them and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, healed myself and enjoying my fabulosity of my singleness and being by myself and just being enjoying myself, you know, not really even wanting a relationship. You know, but I've actually, I just, you know, that's what I was just wondering, if you maybe saw something in my future. It doesn't have to be today or tomorrow or next month or even even next year. I don't even think that it's...
Well, Candace,
again, I think
can I
think it's all relative.
Can I jump in for a minute? And I'm going to suggest that Candace and Mia get a pen handy, if you can, because I'm doing another radio show at 5 o'clock today, and Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, who's going to be on my show at on February 19th, is also going to be on a show that I co-host today. And she reads the Akashic Records. She gives readings. If there's a block or fear that you're experiencing in your present life, she can take you back to a life where that originated. And if you're interested, let me give you the phone number, and you can call in. She's not going to be coming on the air until 5:20. So you can either call in at 5 and listen to Mike Long and myself talk about reincarnation, or you can call in at 5:20 and get a reading. Would you like that number?
Yes, I definitely will love, because I'm going to call in, because that's something, if I am having some blockages in, you know, that's caused me to basically, you know, so to say, because, I mean, you know, when you're doing the work and they keep telling you it's not enough, that you need to work on yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're saying you would never get it. And I've been doing a lot of healing, a lot of meditation, a lot of healing and stuff that's been blocking me from whatever. And, you know.
Well, there's a fear attached to that.
Yeah, and maybe also, Candace, it could be, too, that maybe the timing, you know, for you is, you know, a lot of it has to do with that, because, you know, I know even in my own life, it's like we can really be sure and really be working hard and doing our work and our inner work and our spiritual work and think that, you know what, I'm in a place. And I know this happened to me recently the past couple of years with my work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm ready, but I've been doing all this sort of. And at first I didn't understand, and then I finally just surrendered and said, you know what, there's got to be something more that is going to come through this, and that's why. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And just when I least expected it, things started to turn around. So, again, we sometimes, on a mental level and on a conscious level, mentally conscious level, feel that we're there and we're ready, and it is. It's so frustrating, Candace, because whether it's a relationship or whether it's the work or whether it's whatever that we work so hard for and do our work, and still sometimes we get frustrated because it doesn't happen. There are so many aspects to why that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and
I'm starting to see that now myself, and I always forget, you know, maybe things aren't supposed to be for me, and I'm looking at that too. I'm starting to really look at that now, and you know,
good.
And like I said, I'm just focusing on more of my music and stuff now, if anything. And you know, it's just the wrong question that I should have asked, and you know.
Well, my dears, we need to wrap up. Let me give you that phone number, and let me suggest that you frame your concern in terms of what the fear is, because she's a fear buster, all right? So if you're afraid that you're not going to receive love, or if you're longing for it and it's not happening, frame it in terms of a fear. That's what Dr. McIntyre likes to work on. And she is very good. If you frame it that way, she'll take you right to that lifetime, or maybe more than one. And she also is a little hard of hearing, so be sure to speak up. And here is the phone number that you can call in at 5 o'clock or 5:20. It is 347.
Hold on one second. I'll call one second. One little second. Because I definitely want to call in.
Yes.
Because I must have had a lot of blockages because, you know, you try to heal stuff. Like, why is it that it's like, I'm being honest, you know, I'm not trying to put myself in nothing, you know? I mean, but, you know, I'm like, but I really would love to wonder if it is really out there for me. I would really like to know, you know? If it's not, then I need to stop
acting.
Okay,
well, we do have to wrap. Yeah, we do have to wrap up. Is your pen working?
Hold on. A second.
Yeah. In the meantime, Sandra, thank you so much for today.
Oh, you're welcome, David. It was a pleasure.
And would you call me back within a month's time at my home number? If you don't have that, I can give it to you. I can email it to you.
I actually have both your numbers.
It's an area code 315 number. And what we can do is we can set up a show date for early in August or the end of July.
Sure.
Okay.
It's great.
Candace, are you ready?
Yeah, 347.
884.
Okay.
8245. 45. So that is 347-884-8245, and I will welcome your call, and Mia, too, if you want to call in, please feel free. And with that said, it's time to move on. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.